What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. King's Island is now open weekends.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
As soon as I got him with the left and the right, I see he's dropping for a running pound.
Jairzinho! Biggie Boy! Rolls and strike!
Oh, he's that's oh, in there. It's in there. That is tight.
Mike Howe, the Lone Wolf, Chris Hutto!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous. Listen to me, we're at it.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Nice to have Matt back. He was away. We have an interesting show. Jairzinho Rozenstruik will be our first guest in here shortly. He's been on quite a few times. I like him very much. Fighting Alexander Volkov. A great fucking fight. And Michael Trezano, I believe, is making his UFC Unfiltered debut. He is going to help and welcome Lucas Almeida into the UFC.
Hey!
Yes, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Stop. Stop. Hold the presses. What? Sorry. I don't think I ever said that before in my life.
No, I've never said it.
Is that the correct saying? Hold the presses?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Well, first of all, I promise I'll never say it again. It doesn't feel natural. But I wanted you to stop right there.
What did I do wrong?
Well, one, I didn't see you in a while. And I feel you getting right to business without really giving me the welcome. Like, Matt, I missed you. And how was your week? You were away. So I know we're going to get to that.
Yes.
I'm more sensitive, Jimmy, than I think you know.
Well, let me explain and then you tell me. I want to talk because Jairzinho is in the waiting room. So we'll probably be getting to him quickly. So what I wanted to do is, because we have to welcome people and let them know who's on the show. So I didn't want to get you because you, I actually want to hear, like, I want to talk about it. So I didn't want you to start and then go, hey, Matt, Jairzinho's here 10 seconds in.
Jimmy, I apologize.
That's okay. Apology accepted. I'm happy to see you.
I can't wait to tell you about my trip to Vegas. It was fun. I'll tell you why I was there.
I was watching videos. I was very unhappy with you singing with someone else. I didn't like it.
Well, Jimmy, I'm going to talk to you about that. And I was never in a karaoke call before. Okay. And boy, was it fun.
It seemed fun.
We're going to talk about it. And I'll tell you right now that Michael Bisping could put down some wine.
Yes, I know he can. Yes, I'm sure Michael can.
And I'll tell you right now, we're going to talk about it after we talk to Jairzinho
Rozenstruik. Jairzinho, let's bring in Jairzinho, the great Jairzinho Rozenstruik.
Let's go.
Fighting Volkov June the 4th. UFC fight. It's Volkov versus Rozenstruik.
How you doing? How you guys doing?
Hey, Jairzinho, how are you?
Long time no talk, man. Good to see you. You always got such a good energy, Jimmy.
Yeah.
It's good because Jimmy's got a negative, depressing energy.
No, I don't feel good. I thought I had COVID, but I don't. And then I used Afrin. And are you guys allowed to use Afrin when you fight? Or is there anything in there you're not allowed to use to clear your nose?
I don't think it's allowed. But it's allowed. It's just salt and water, I think.
Okay. But I'm not sure what it is, but it makes my nose all fucked up the next day.
It's not allowed. My cameraman does say it's not
allowed. It's not allowed. Okay.
Hey, Jairzinho, have you seen the new Doctor Strange movie?
Oh, that's a good one. But I have a better one.
Wait. Oh, a better one.
A better one.
Oh, I think I know what you're going to say, but go ahead.
Top Gun. Crazy.
It was fucking awesome.
You liked it.
I was blown away.
Jairzinho, you know what's funny? I never even fully watched the first one, to be honest with you. But I still love this Top Gun, the new Top Gun Maverick.
You know what I did? I rewatched the old one 2 days before at home on Netflix, and then I go to the new one.
He's a movie guy, Jimmy. I knew Jorginho was a movie.
See, that wouldn't interest me. It's 36 years later, but everybody is saying how good it is. I didn't want to see it, but everybody says it's great.
It is great.
Because I knew about the first movie, so I knew a little bit. But they did it very well.
It was very awesome. Well. I liked it.
How is Val Kilmer? I know Val Kilmer, he can't speak. Like, he has a voice box, so they had to use computer like animation to make his voice because he can't talk anymore. So I know he was in the film and he was really happy to be in the film. How did that scene look? Did that look good?
Oh, the Iceman. Oh, yeah.
The Iceman. Yeah,
that's the Iceman. It's ice. Now, I think it was awesome in the movie. I really like the way he played the role. And I mean, it's awesome.
I like the new cast. Sometimes I don't like the young cast of like in not reboots, but in sequels. I'm like, yeah, they're corny. But the new cast, where there was a new cocky guy, Hangman, he was cocky. Was good. Because you just, right?
He became better in the end.
Oh, 100%.
I didn't like him in the beginning. Like, me neither. Why you be like that?
Yes, he was cocky, very cocky. But it's good because it made you care about the personalities. Tom Cruise, dude, the guy doesn't age. It's amazing.
It's his biggest movie opening ever. This is the biggest opening of his career, this weekend opening.
Really?
It's crazy, right?
Is what I just said. He looked good for his age. Yeah, I think he worked out a lot, and I think he did a good job.
Jimmy, speaking of that, this was the first time I was in a theater. I was over at the Red Rock with my wife in Vegas. We watched it there. And the whole is one of those things where I haven't been in a theater. Like, I've been in a theater right since the pandemic. It was on Friday, so it was the opening day. The pack, no, there was not one seat left. Everybody cheering and yelling and clapping. Oh, it felt like everything back to normal, Jimmy. Like, it was crazy.
Anyway, now, did one of you guys see it in IMAX?
I did.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, no.
I saw that.
You did.
No. Hey, Jorginho, I saw it in the fucking 4DX shit. You ever do that?
Is that when you feel the seat vibrating or something?
Yes. No, you're in the seat. So when the jet's going, it's like, the fucking seat's up. Dude, I'm trying to get my drink, my thing. I thought the straw was going to fucking poke me in my eye. I'm like, Dude, it's shaking you around in your chair.
I never watched it in full. No, I never did it, but I think it should be awesome. But I think the new movie that's coming, I think this year in December, Avatar, that one you should watch in that theater.
It's kind of cool because when you're in like the water, like they spray like water at you and shit.
Yeah.
It's really wacky, man. Do you think the new Avatar, did you think they waited too long?
Yes.
I definitely think they waited too long.
Because the first one was the amazing thing about the first Avatar was with the 3D, what's the technology going to look like? And now that we've seen it, you're seeing the second one. You're like, all right, we've already kind of seen it. I don't think that this many years was needed for part two. What is it? How many years is it? Like 10 years?
I think even longer.
Wow.
You know what I worry about, guys, is James Cameron, who I usually am like gung-ho about, the director. He was involved with that latest Terminator reboot or whatever. And that was just a big woke piece of shit. So I just hope that this Avatar, I just hope this one's good. Because that new Terminator, shit, Terminator 3, whatever the fuck it was, I don't know. But dude, I'm going to spoil this. Dude, Terminator 2, they went through this, which was a great movie, Terminator 2.
Yeah.
They went through this whole fucking thing and finally he ends and he gives the kid the thumbs up. He's going in the lava. Dude. In the opening scene, the other one, fucking John Connor's at his wedding and he just gets fucking Terminator, comes out of the ocean, just fucking kills him. It's like, what? Anyway, let's talk.
Yeah, I like that, by the way. That's a great opening to a movie.
Jimmy, yeah, because it's depressing.
Yeah, that's a great opening to a movie. Now, were you ever in the military, Jorginho, or ever inclined to do any military work?
I did some military work, but I wasn't in the military.
Oh, okay. Now, you did work for the military.
No, but kind of similar. More security, and then the military was training us.
Oh, okay. So you're doing physical security for people.
Yes.
I imagine you're an intimidating bodyguard or security. Would you bodyguard people personally?
I did before. Now, not anymore.
Do you have to like the person you bodyguard? Like, I always wonder when people bodyguard, like, a celebrity who's an asshole and who acts up and is going to get you into a fight. How do you manage that?
I think that's a difficult part about it, because if I don't like you, I don't go. Because you have your team, and you can say, okay, I don't want to do him, or I don't want to do that person, and then you don't go.
Oh, you can say no before they sign you to somebody.
Yeah.
Not to switch gears. I'm reading here. You know, how does it feel now? You're not going to have to deal with, most likely, it is a mixed martial arts. You never know what somebody has up their sleeve. Right. But style-wise, this is a fun fight for you this weekend. Where your last fight with Curtis, the style-wise, it could be annoying because you like to fucking put your hands on them. And when they're looking to always take you down or punch in, you know, they mix it. Curtis mixes it up excellent. But do you like it better that you're dealing with more of a striker than a grappler this time?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think he's going to stand and strike. I definitely think he's going to go try to push me back, push me to the cage, and then wrap me up or tie me up there. And yeah, but I don't think he's going to stand and strike, even if he's a striker.
Well, he'll shoot a couple times just to make you think about it.
Correct. So I have that in my mind, and it's not that I'm going there and think, okay, this is a striking match, and leave my guard down, don't defend my takedown.
So you think he's not going to want to stand there and go punch for punch?
No. I think I'm faster than him, so if he does that, I probably knock him out then in the first few seconds of the fight.
And listen, I want to keep it in the past because I don't like to talk about negative shit. But the fight with Curtis, do we learn something from it? Do we chalk it up? Sometimes you don't think. There's two different ways, trains of thought here. It's one, it's like, all right, I might have just had an off night. Let me not overthink this. Or two, it's like, fuck, man, I got to really address this. How were we after that fight? Where was our head?
I definitely think I could have done more. Like, I was thinking too much what he going to do. What would the takedown be? Would he go for the double leg? Would he go for the single leg? Would he go for try to push me to the cage? So I think that kind of slowed me down in my own style. So I'm not going to kick him because he's going to grab my leg. And I don't want to land on my back for no reason. So at least I can get in there and, you know. So I think that was my mistake for thinking what he's going to do. And then real fast we changed that because that's why I have a team. Why don't I show some wrestling? Even I don't get it, why don't I show some offense? So he know I can't go for it. So he definitely would not make the mistake. So I grab him down. So that was a little bit to break it down and where we were after the fight.
And you and I mean you're 8 and I think Volkov is 7. So you guys are both top 10 fighters. And what do you think is going to happen at the top of the division? I mean, are they going to have an interim a fight for the interim belt? And you said you don't think that Stipe and Jones should get it because of inactivity. It's been a long time, especially for John Jones, since he has fought. What do you think should happen at the top of the division?
I think fighters who run the division, keep the division up and running, being active, should get a chance. And I definitely think Curtis Blaze should get a chance for the interim title.
Who do you think they should put courtesy? Would you have an issue if it was Curtis against Stipe? Or who do you think they should put Curtis against for interim?
No, I don't know. But it's not that I have an issue with going to fight. Is Stipe going to fight or John Jones going to fight? I think it's unfair compared to us. We've been fighting 3 years during COVID, during everything. We're risking our career to be in there. So we should get a chance.
Is Tuivasa scheduled to fight anyone? Does he have another fight on the books? Does anybody know?
Yeah, I think he's fighting Ciryl Gane.
Oh, he is fighting Gane. Oh, yeah, that's a great fight. And you and Volkov both lost to Ciryl, but you lost decisions. I mean, it was a good fight. And he seemed to be giving Francis a hard time as well with his movement, you know, and Francis just laid on him pretty much. And like Matt says, kind of Ciryl blew it in the last round. But what would you do differently if you fought him again? Did you learn anything from fighting him? Was his movement surprising to you? Or is it something you think you'd be able to counteract a little better this time?
I think I'll counter a little better this time. And Francis exposed him a little bit with the wrestling, the power. Then you got like you overpower him, especially if you have it.
Yeah, but he is a very fast heavyweight. He's a fast guy and he moves left to right. It's like watching a giant Wonder Boy bounce around. You know, he does move very, very well on his feet.
I definitely think he moves very well. But even, yeah, when you overpower guys like that, they're going to make a mistake. Everybody's going to make a mistake if you overpower them and pushing him in a direction he doesn't want to go.
Shit, yeah. Hey, and make no mistake about it. You know what I love? I love positive energy. And your coach, Mike, what was it? Michael Babb. I see him dancing in the street on YouTube, dancing in the street.
It was in Jacksonville. I mean, we were happy. He was hearing a great song, and he just let it go. And he likes to dance. Yeah, Mike likes to dance.
I'll tell you, you put him on a dance floor, it might be a problem.
Yeah.
He can move.
I agree.
It's good to have people around you during the fight camp that keep that good energy. Don't you agree, Judge?
I agree with that, definitely. Because if you're stressing and everybody else is stressing, it's going to be only stress in the fight week, and you don't need that. I definitely think in fight week, you should be happy because it's time you're going to let it out. And finally, the training camp or the hardest part, there is where you make the mistakes and you keep repeating, or you keep failing till you got it.
It's important who you have around you. If I was still fighting, I wouldn't bring Jimmy with me. He would be like, oh, what if you lose? What if you get beat up? I go, Jim, you can't have the wrong person around.
No, I would just keep asking for a tissue because my nose is stuffed. No, I would just be all about my nose and my cough. I would be annoying. I wouldn't be helpful. I'd be telling you Top Gun sucked as you walked in the ring. As soon as you're walking in, I'd be like, that was no good. You shouldn't have watched that, Matt. Yeah, I'd be shitting on your movie choices.
I want somebody like Michael dancing in the street. That's what I need.
Yeah, you need somebody. Like, do you focus a lot on the fight week, or do you prefer a distraction or just anything to take your mind somewhere else?
I focus on the fight, but I also like now, I always bring my PS4 and 5 with me. And I just play a game. I don't want to go outside. I do my workout, go in my room, put out the AC real high, cold, and I just do video games.
Now, what are we, Jimmy? This isn't a very important question, Jimmy. I'll ask this one. Please, what are we playing? What are we playing on the
app? Now we're playing 2K20, this 22, and we do soccer.
Now, do you do that Elder Scrolls or whatever that is? Is that Elder Scrolls? What's the new one?
I didn't see it. I kind of stuck in the video game. Then I'm not talking about the war game. Ah. But they don't bring new ones of the best games anymore. I was last in the store and I was like, what is new? And all that was new is some kids game, you know. I don't understand it.
You're gonna try the VR? Are you gonna try the Oculus Quest?
Yeah, I definitely gonna try the VR. I think in the past I had it, but I never played video game with it.
This new, the Oculus Quest 2, Population 1, Onward. There's some, you're in the game.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not sitting here. We're up. We're moving.
I'm playing the Far Cry 2. What's it called? The one from Bolivia.
What is it called? Far Cry, you said?
Far Cry, yeah. Ghost Recon.
Oh, Ghost Recon.
They came out with a new one as well.
See, stuff like that.
It takes place in Bolivia, or the game is from Bolivia?
It takes place in Bolivia.
Are you on Twitch?
Yeah, I'm on Twitch.
I'm the only one not on it, Jimmy.
What's that?
I'm the only one not on it.
Matt, I've been bugging you for you. Matt would be great on Twitch because Matt's funny and Matt's got a lot of energy and people like it. Like, you're crazy. You should be on it. You should have been on it for 2 years. Why don't you just jump? I should take jiu-jitsu and you should be on Twitch. Why don't you just jump on Twitch?
Agreed.
Yeah.
And I'll do mine when you do yours. We'll make it a green.
All right. I'm not on Twitch either, though. I'm in no position to talk.
Well, the thing with Twitch is I don't do it live because when I play, I get aggressive. Oh, this, that. I'm cursing sometimes. So I don't do live. But sometimes I watch it with other players.
Oh, so you don't want to game live, because I think that'd be fun to watch, though. It's fun to watch people out of their element and doing different stuff. And to watch you going, like, ah, fuck. I mean, that would be enjoyable.
Yeah, but the thing is, you deal with kids as well. So
That's the problem. Yeah. You don't want to say something that gets you in trouble.
No.
Yeah, that's smart. That's where you're smarter than I am. And you probably would have a lot of kids are fight fans, and you know, you have younger fans than I do.
Yeah, I definitely think that too. Because you have a lot of kids that play online. Even they are saying bad things. So I'm like, whoa, where do you learn that?
Yeah, kids understand. There's times I'm teaching my kids class. I'm always afraid a fuck's going to fly out of my mouth. But I'm usually, it doesn't happen. You know?
Thank you.
You just got to watch yourself.
Yeah, because it's embarrassing. Even though they've heard it before, it's just embarrassing. And then you got to apologize. And it's just, it's annoying. Nobody needs it. So what do you think now? You said you don't think that Jones should be able. Do you think he fights at heavyweight, honestly? And I know everybody's sick of hearing about John Jones, but it is the interesting thing is all of the great matchups if he finally fights at heavyweight. I mean, who wouldn't want to see? I would love to see you and Jones fight. I would love to see him fight Cyril or Stipe even, or of course, Francis. What do you think that ever happens?
I think it's going to happen. But like everybody else, even if I was John Jones, I was thinking, okay, when should I take the chance? Should I do Ngannou or should I do Gunn or Stipe? Makes a good match, him and Stipe or with Gunn. Same body type, not too heavy. So I think that should be a good chance. So yeah. But the only thing what I was thinking is that it's unfair. That's it.
Yeah. I think that it's funny. Him against Gunn would be an interesting matchup. Ngannou, maybe or maybe not. I don't know. But I do. Ngannou, he might give Ngannou a hard time if he moves well. Because Francis may not be able to get a hold of him.
Yeah, but you know what it is? It's heavyweight. It's different. I don't know if he can take the impact of the heavier punches. Ngannou walk around, 300 pounds?
Yeah, he's a giant man.
Yeah, so I don't think, I don't know. But I definitely want to see it. In the future, I definitely want to see it. And of course, we learn from other fighters. So when someone's fighting, it's good or bad, you learn from it.
Do you get excited when you go to a fight, when you're sitting there and you're watching, especially two guys that you might have to fight? If you're there in the crowd watching, how do you feel? Do you have one that you want to win because you think it's a better matchup for you? Or do you never care?
I don't care. But then on the other side, you think two ways. Okay, if he win, I fight him, I beat him easily. But if he win, it's going to be a harder fight. So, yeah, I better the other guy win. So it's hard. you gotta be honest with yourself.
Yeah, well, you're in the top 10, and obviously you will get a shot at the title again. You know you'll get your shot and get what you want. Do you have any type of path planned to the belt? Like, which way do you see yourself going to possibly get
there? Right now, this Saturday is really important for me. Win this fight. And then see who's available. Definitely want to fight one more time this year. And next year, I want to make a big run. Like, if I can fight four times next year, I'd do it right away.
Oh, you would? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look, man, good luck on Saturday. This is a great fight. You and Alexander Volkov. It has definitely has title implications because, you may just flip-flop positions, but you may not, depending on how long Francis is out. So good luck, Jarzinho. You're always...
So it's a little earlier. I want to make sure people know that. I'm sorry.
Oh, yes, Jared. Yes. What time, Matt?
The prelims start at 12 p.m. Eastern on ESPN+. And the main card starts at 3 p.m. Eastern on ESPN+. Main event is you versus Alexander Volkov, Jarzinho. I can't wait, dude. Yeah. You're always so entertaining, bro.
Thank you. Appreciate it, man. And I'll bring it on this weekend.
All right. Thank you so much, man. Thanks for coming on again.
Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
Jimmy, tomorrow, my birthday.
Is it tomorrow? Happy birthday.
It's your little buddy's birthday. I'm actually your big buddy.
But you're listen, my big buddy.
Yeah, I'm stocky. You're my little buddy.
You're my big coworker.
Yeah. Jimmy.
Yes.
I'm going to be 48.
You look younger.
Got to kind of now round it up.
Yep, I do the same. But you don't look 48. I mean, you look like you look 35 and you act 9. So I think you're in. Well,
ooh.
Yeah.
Oh,
you do have pretty impressive abs.
Ooh. Sorry. I'm going to do the rest of the show like the. Hey, hello, Jeffrey. I don't know what that felt. Listen to me, Jimmy. I was about to say I don't act nine, but
then you just made your belly button talk. That's not the sign of a mature man. That's not the sign of a 48-year-old man who makes his belly button talk on camera.
So, Jimmy,
yeah,
in Las Vegas, right? I went out there with my wife, and the UFC was doing shooting a little show. And I don't know when the thing's going to come out, but it had to do with a dinner party with me and some other UFC fighters. It was
nice.
And Bisping was one of them, right? So at this dinner party, you know, we're shooting for over a couple hours. We're the only two drinking. I might have got a little, you know, loose, a little loosey-goosey. You know what I mean, Jim?
Yeah, sure.
I don't like that. Jimmy.
Loosey-goosey.
So, Jimmy, my wife told me afterwards.
Call me James.
That's not going to happen. Okay. But listen, I can't picture you as a James.
Well, you know what? I want you to call me, but you won't.
What?
At the show. It should be called Daddy and the Lad.
I don't like that at all. I would refuse that. I'd cause trouble. So listen, afterwards, to take us back to the hotel, it was myself, Michael Bisping, my wife was with me. It was our 15-year wedding anniversary on that weekend, so it worked out nice. Juliana Pena, the champ, you know, and Rashad Evans. So they put us in a fucking... Now I'm already lit, bro. I'm drunk. And they put us in a karaoke truck. Are they crazy? Do they know what they're doing when they do that?
They do, actually.
Listen, I think maybe I have to throw an apology out there to Juliana and Rashad and Michael. What I seen in my... I post a little video of us singing on there on my Instagram. I mean, I'm like, all right, it looks like everybody's having a good time. My wife said I was a little loud. She goes, I don't think you remember, but I was trying to I didn't want to be a party pooper. She goes, I kept squeezing your arm because every few seconds you were screaming very loud. It was in the truck. You were screaming. It's like an Escalade party. She goes, you kept screaming at the top of your lungs, let's fucking go. Yeah. And it was very loud. So dude, you got a drunken me.
Yeah.
Singing Kanye West and every fucking once in a while go, let's fucking go. Let's fucking go.
You know what that sounds like?
Oh no, dude.
Very sober Matt. That sounds like the man I deal with twice a week.
Jimmy.
Singing.
What am I going to do when I see these? They don't mind. They kind of know me by now.
I heard from Rashad.
I like Rashad.
I do too, but he was very unhappy with that.
I asked, I go, what was everybody else doing? I go, I think Bisping was having a good time, but he was probably drunk too. I go, was I? She goes, no, he was just a little loud. It was okay. A little loud though. I can understand. But Jimmy, I got so lit, Jimmy.
Yeah, you don't drink that often. You're not a drinker. I don't.
I went back to the Red Rock and I puked all over. I got a lot in the toilet.
Did you puke?
I did, Jimmy, because I didn't eat a lot.
Oh.
It was one of those dinner party things where you eat before, but you don't really eat.
How long did you puke for? Quickly or a while?
My wife said, I was just in the shower. She goes, and you puked in the shower? I go, yeah, but it's in the shower. It goes down the drain.
Now, were you okay after that?
The next morning, I woke up pretty damn good.
Oh, all right.
And I was like, that was a fun night. Yeah. Michael Bisping's a fun guy.
He's a great guy. I don't know him that well other than from interviews, but he seems like a fun hang.
I don't know. I do. And then, you know, Forrest Griffin. The thing is, I even though I'm not super close with these guys, I know them for a long time. Sure. I've been, acquaintance wise. And Bisping, I know a little bit better because I've been on his podcast back and forth with forever. So I feel like I know him a little bit better. And I'm always asking about his fucking knees. I keep asking about his knees. But I'll tell you, he's looking great. His knees are great. You know, he said I'm kind of in for it that first fucking few weeks. But hey.
When is your actual surgery, Matt?
June 28th, bro.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad you're doing it. I mean, I hate that we can't go to Vegas for July 4th, but I'm happy that you're doing it. I think it's about time. And then when we're back in studio, you'll be able to walk.
Yeah, they wanted us down there, didn't they?
Yeah, but get your knees done. It's more important. We'll go next year.
Fuck yeah, Jimmy. I'll be fucking skipping there. Oh!
Yeah.
I believe it's time.
Let's get Michael Trezano in here.
Trezano? Sounds like a paisan.
Yeah. Fighting Lucas Almeida on June the 4th, of course.
Let's get to know him.
Hey, what's happening?
How you doing,
what's
man?
What's up, man?
I'm doing great. How's it going?
You're from the East Coast.
Hell yeah, I am.
Have we met?
No, not personally.
Well, nice to meet you, bro.
Yeah, likewise.
Where are you from? Yeah, where?
I'm from Jersey. So,
okay, so am I. Where?
Yeah, I live in Lebanon, New Jersey now. I grew up north in Ramsey.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I grew up in North Brunswick, and I used to spend time in Newton. How far from Newton are you? Up in that area, about 206?
I'm like an hour south of Newton, like directly south.
Oh, okay.
Jimmy, how are you guys a bull? He's like an hour away from you growing up, whatever. How does he grow up a cage fighter and you grow up whacking off your buddies?
Well, honestly, I'll tell you how, Matt, we're both good with our hands.
That's a good answer.
Michael, sorry about that. All right, let's start right now. Michael, so tell me, growing up in Jersey, what did you get started with the martial arts?
So I played sports my whole life. I always wanted to fight. And I had a buddy of mine that his mom was actually training at Tiger Schulman's. And this is who I trained with. And he was like, oh, they got a good fight team. This night, you should check it out. And I went. I took class. I got dead tired in like 2 minutes and I was hooked.
Ah, so Tiger Schulman. So you're with the Schulman brothers?
Yes, sir.
They do put out, I'll tell you, I've been around forever and on the East Coast, they get a lot of support from their members because they always go up to local fights. And and they put out a great team. Just because they're good businessmen and they have a good business model to run good schools, people hate on them. They're like, oh, that's like a this and that. Dude, they put out – look at this. Look who we're talking to. And you guys have a stable like Shane Burgos, Jimmy Rivera. So you guys, I mean, they're doing Wyman something good. Right over there. They're doing something right.
Uriah for Hall. Yeah.
Yeah. We got a good room, man. It's a lot of guys coming up soon. And, you know, you're going to see a lot more guys starting to come through the woodworks because we got a tough room, man.
I started training there. I wanted to do it because I knew Jimmy Rivera and it wasn't that far from my house. I loved it. I loved going. I loved the class. I loved the private lessons. And then fucking COVID happened and his school moved. I think now he's in Brooklyn. And I think it's an extra block to the other one. And I'm such a lazy asshole. I haven't walked an extra block. This was as far as I was going to go. But I really liked it a lot. And they get a bad rap from people sometimes. And they really shouldn't because the class was great.
Oh, man. I mean, our main clientele is the average person that just wants to work out and get in good shape, learn how to defend themselves, you know, for the kids aspect, learn how to stand up to bullies, build confidence. You know, that's the main clientele. You know, the fighters are like that less than 1%, you know, but if you got somebody that wants to fight, you know, we have a spot for you. So
how long did it take you to get good or to begin getting good and to go like, hey man, this is something I could do. And what made you start training to begin with?
I wanted to fight to begin with. That was like my main goal, but we have a couple in-house tournaments in Tiger Schulman's and it's a good way to get your feet wet in a competition. A little bit watered down, but it's a jiu-jitsu tournament. It's a kickboxing tournament. And all the schools have all their students go. And that's how I started competing. And eventually, as I started training more and more and more, I got into actual kickboxing fights, boxing fights, and then eventually MMA.
And you loved it from the beginning?
Oh, I love it, man. Competition is the best thing for anybody.
What made you want it? Is it like because you're a much younger guy than we are? So were you watching UFC growing up and they go like, that's what I want to do? Or did you fight a lot? Did you get picked on when you were a kid?
I didn't really get picked on too much. You know, everybody, you're going to deal with assholes at any point in time. But I was super into it. I did get into trouble here and there, but nothing crazy. You know, I wasn't like this guy fighting on the street every day. But I was super into boxing and I was watching MMA a little bit, and I really got into it when one of my teammates, Louis Gaudino, was on the Ultimate Fighter season 14.
And fucking purple hair, green hair, right?
The green hair, yeah. And that got me hooked. I was like, oh, man, I want to do that show, and I want to win it. And, you know, fast forward, and I ended up doing it. So, you know, it comes full circle. I just had to work hard.
Now, I see here that you're a lover of the Rocky movies, man.
I am. Yeah, I love them.
A little bit after your time. I know they're classics. I grew up on them. I love the Rocky movies. What got you into the Rocky movies? How old were you?
My dad. I watch all those old school movies, man. I love the 80s movies, the 70s movies. They're great. They don't make them like that anymore.
Hey, see the new Top Gun, by the way. That's kind of that
saw it. I saw it last night. Me and my coach went to the movies and we saw it. I thought they did a great job. They usually fuck up sequels of movies that are that good, but they did a good job.
Especially 36 years in between the first and second one. That's, I don't think it's ever been done that long. Like The Godfather had a couple of years. This way, 36 years between the first and second one.
Yeah, no, it was great. Great movie, great scenes. The back and forth, the banter is great.
Did you like the Creed movies? I'm sorry, Jimmy. I didn't like the Creed movies. Everybody likes the Creed movies. I love the Rocky movies. I tried to get into Creed. I'm like, eh.
Yeah, they were okay. They were okay.
Did your dad fight or did he just like Rocky?
Nah, he loved those movies. He trained in Kyokushin Karate back in the day, but he stopped because he owned restaurants. So he kind of ran out of time and stuff like that.
You know what the difference is between movies then and now is, like, you could unfold a story better. The people were more patient 40 years ago. So, like, you would tell a bit more of a story and you would have a bit more, like, background information and dialogue. They didn't feel a need to rush right into an opening scene that was kind of stupid that you didn't care about. So, yeah, I think that's why those movies hold up, is because they unfolded a little slower. Like, Rocky One is not an action-packed film. I mean, it's just about this fucking guy who wants to get out of his neighborhood and be something.
Yeah, no, I love those types of movies. They're great.
And I love that he lost in the first one. I love that he lost in the first one. You know, it was just, it really is a masterpiece.
Isn't it funny, though, the transformation of Adrian? I had a bit of Jimmy. I had a bit about that a while ago. Adrian started so sweet. Remember Adrian?
Yeah.
She was in the store. She was very quiet with the turtles. By the sixth one, she was a fifth one. She was a bitch, straight up bitch. No.
Yeah.
She had to be tough to protect Rocky.
Oh, you're a fan of Adrian.
Yeah. I mean, he's not wrong, though.
Guys.
She was worried about his eyesight.
Guys, all I know is that one, the girl who was selling them the turtles in the store, she wouldn't be, that's the same bitch. Listen, is that, would he ever imagine that shy girl with the glasses who's so quiet and by herself locking up that shit, that she'd be yelling at him that he cannot win?
I wouldn't deal with that.
You know how good, on the staircase, you heard about how good he is. What, you can't win.
No, that's toxic.
When I met you, you were cleaning up fucking turtle fucking turds, bitch. Right?
No, I agree. It's toxic. You need someone who's going to just support you no matter what.
Well, she was worried about his eyesight. See, he was fighting for glory and to prove something to himself, but she was worried about it, like physically worried that he was going to lose his eye. Don't forget he had a problem with his eye. So they were afraid he wouldn't fight. It wasn't just getting his ass kicked. It was losing his eyesight. And she's the one who did wake up out of the coma after falling on the feed bag like a silly goose in part two. And then she wound up telling him to win and motivating him in part two. And then in part three, she's, you know.
If she would have stayed at part two, Rocky two, that's good. She showed some concern. I'll tell you right now, though, when she did wake up and said win, and then all of a sudden, Mickey, are we waiting for here? Ding. Boom, great. I hit that hard immediately. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, it was great.
I love that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Gets goosebumps going.
Very motivational.
It is. Yeah, it gets you going. And you forget that she told him that he shouldn't fight in the beginning of the movie. You forget that earlier in the movie, she was fucking telling him, don't fight and don't do this. And he's just praying, dragging Mickey to a church. Mickey's like, what the fuck? Yeah. Mr. T was great, too, in part three. Except I didn't like the name Clubber Lang, but I liked him in that. I didn't like the name Clubber Lang.
Why not?
I just didn't.
Won the fight. Clubber.
Yeah, I know. I just didn't like the name. I loved him, though. All right, forget it. Sorry, Michael. You got me on a Rocky tear now. It is a fun film. It is a motivational film. And what else? What are you expecting, by the way, out of Almeida? I think he's 13-1. This is his UFC debut. How do you feel bringing somebody into the UFC? Do you know what that's like. Do you think that they're going to have a higher – some people tend to – gas out a little bit because their adrenaline drops. What are you expecting?
Look, he's a tough guy. He's here for a reason. You know, there's no easy fights. So I'm not taking him for granted at all. I'm just going to focus on the game plan that me and my coaches put together. And it's just about who makes less mistakes.
What was your first fight like mentally for you? You have the first UFC fight.
That was a hell of an adrenaline rush for sure. I mean, it was the Ultimate Fighter finale. It was in Vegas. I had a ton of family there. I had like 200-300 people that came out.
Oh, wow.
There was a lot of pressure. You know, I try not to think about it like that and just do my thing. But, you know, it was very nerve-wracking. But I think I've settled in.
Do you like having family there? I never want family when I'm doing a show because I just get too, I'm too aware that they're there. And I know fighting is different, but you don't mind when they're there in the room?
No, I love when they're there. It's been tough because like I haven't been able to get them to my last couple fights because it's been at the Apex. And, you know, I love the crowd. I feed off the crowd. I love when it's going nuts. I remember like when I went on my Ultimate Fighter fight, you know, the whole crowd, I got stuck in a weird position on top of the guy and the whole crowd's chanting, beat that ass, beat that ass. My family was the one that started that chant. And that's all I heard was beat that ass while I'm in the middle of the fight. I love it.
So it helped. Yeah. You enjoy the support.
Yeah, that's of course. That's a good memory.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, I never like people there. But again, I'm doing something different than fighting. So for me, I'm just making embarrassing admissions. And, you know, fighting is a little bit of a different thing. So you prefer the live crowds to the Apex, but you fought enough in like, again, a lot of guys kind of like the Apex because they said it's like a training. You know, it doesn't feel like, until you're getting hit, of course, but it doesn't feel quite like walking out in front of a crowd. So some guys feel a little less pressure.
I mean, I would think they're the same, to be honest, in my opinion. It's still a UFC fight. Still,
sure.
You still got a lot of eyes on you, regardless if they're there or not. But again, it's what we train for. I'm ready. Just going to go in there and do my thing.
Before we let you go, what was the mentality? You talked about the first UFC fight. The mentality the first time you walked into a cage to fight, not at Tiger Shulman, but when you were actually going and this was going to be on your record. What was your feelings like walking in the first time?
Not going to lose.
Oh, you were confident?
Yeah, I'm going to go in there and I got to win no matter what.
It's the way to be, Jimmy.
It is, but I'm just wondering how, because I'm such not a confident person. Like I would walk in and go like, all right, I just hope I don't embarrass myself. Like I would never have that, that natural confidence that some guys have. But then again, you work for it too by training.
Jimmy, yeah.
I'm not like walking off the street and jumping into the cage.
Right. Yeah.
Putting thousands of hours in, you know?
Jimmy, you think he's going to go in there like, oh, shucks, I guess I'll give this a try. Fuck! Gotta go in and eat somebody's fucking heart, Jimmy.
Yeah, I guess so.
He's locked in a cage. He's locked in a cage. Listen, he's not locked in there with his opponent. His opponent's locked in there with fucking him, Jimmy. That's the mentality. Right, Michael?
Hell yeah, I like that.
Michael knows.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, Michael. Hey, man, you seem like a really chill dude, man. We're looking forward to watching you rock this week.
Good luck on Saturday, man.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right, we'll talk to you again, Michael. Take care of yourself.
All right, have a good one, fellas.
All right, buddy, you too.
When it comes to scents, you should pick ones that smell like, well, you. Target gets it, which is why they offer a range of personal care products with fragrances for everyone. Be true to floral you with Dove Peony and Rose Body Wash. Live your fresh life with Degree Ultra Clear Deodorant. Express your decadent side with Love Beauty and Planet Coconut Shampoo. This spring, choose care that brings you joy beyond labels. Pick up new favorites at a Target near you or online at Target.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
That was fun. I like talking movies with guys like that. Like I like that. Another Jersey guy fucking talking movies. It's great.
I love that shit too, man.
Yeah.
I'm a movie guy. So yeah, I tell you, me and the wifey, we went to that the Top Gun. We really enjoyed it.
Yeah, you've made me want to see it. I will see it, man. Because everyone, you and Rosenstreich and now Michael saying it was good. I'll watch it.
You know, when I was reading this headline here about Jordan Levitt, leave it alone. Jordan Levitt. He said he's a bit offended that he drew Patty Pimblett for the UFC London fight. I'm like, what is that about? You think he'd be... And I was a little wrong because I read what he was saying. But at first, I'm like, wait, he doesn't want to fight him because that's a very high-profile fight.
Sure.
Then when I was reading it, he said, honestly, I was a little bit offended because he's kind of picking fights that are easy.
Right.
And I'm like, I must have looked really bad in my last fight to get this fight. So very flattered. kind of offended, but also excited.
Yeah, he's saying, I hope you didn't pick me because you think I'm going to be an easy fight. Yeah, but the headline is a little deceptive there.
Exactly. So he's, I'm sure he's excited about this fight because that's a huge fight for him. What do they call him? The Monkey King? Jordan, guys, what's his nickname? What's his nickname? It's the Monkey King, I think. Jordan, leave it. They're looking it up right now. 3, 2, 1. They take their time.
Yeah.
Let them take their time to look up Jordan Leavitt's nickname. But Jimmy, so yeah, it is the Monkey King.
You're correct, Matt.
Thank you, Jimmy. But I'm looking forward to that fight. I like that Paddy Pimb, you know?
And I'm happy that I enjoy Rozenstruik too. And him against Volkov is a really good matchup. And fucking Tuivasa, man. I forgot that he was fighting Cyril Gane. He has looked so good after those three losses. Remember, he was undefeated. I don't remember his record. And then he lost three. And you're like, oh, boy, is he finished? And hold on, Matt. Let me see if I can get when he. Yeah, he was 9-0. Dropped a TKO to a JDS. Blagojevanov, he lost to a decision. And then a sub to Spivak. And then he beat Struve, Hunsucker, Hardy, Sakai, and fucking a devastating knockout of Derek Lewis.
Dude, he's been on a fucking tear.
Yes, he has.
I think his biggest fucking obstacle, one of them. Well, Cyril Gane is, he's fighting Cyril Gane. But after that, I think Curtis Blaydes is going to be a fucking problem for him. I like Tui. I like Taya Tui. Hey, listen, prove me wrong, bro. I like him. He's a funny guy.
I love him.
But Curtis Blaydes putting his hands together and his fucking believing in his hands. And also Curtis Blaydes has that fucking money grappling, which seems to be kind of, it was in the past, Taya Tui Vasa's a little bit of his kryptonite. And it looks like he's worked on it since, but that would be one hell of a tough style match.
Well, then again, Curtis has proved his only vulnerability. And again, it's a vulnerability to anybody who has a head with blood flowing through it, is that Ngannou was able to get a hold of him twice. And Derek Lewis, even though Lewis was not having a great fight, was able to throw that short, that little short, I think it was a short right, and drop him. So if you can hold him off, or if you A, get to him quickly, or B, if you can keep him from just laying on you, there is always a shot at if you hit as hard as Tuivasa does.
I got you, but he also now is starting to believe in his hands more, and he's never mixed it anymore. You've seen him hurting people with his hands now. He's always had power. But he just knows it's that much easier when he's on top of somebody. He don't forget that elbow he hit fucking Overeem with. I don't know. I'm on that Curtis Blade. I never dropped off. I'm not a guy where if a guy loses a fight, I don't jump off the train.
Well, no, but
you don't either. Shoe fly.
No, but I'll call like I see it. I won't jump off a train, but I can't be on a train just because I like a guy either. Like, if I think a guy didn't fight well, I have to say
it. I get it. You like a guy till he loses, Jimmy. I get it.
I like a guy even when he loses. However, I liked Francis even when he lost to Stipe. I didn't like the Derek Lewis fight. I thought that was a very bad fight for him. But by the way, he had already lost. I was never a fan of Francis when he was undefeated. And I was on the Francis bandwagon before anybody.
I understand. You don't have to defend yourself. I'm just being an asshole.
I know, me too.
Jimmy, I'm reading here. When we were off last week, and I didn't even know this until my buddy Hulk said this to me. I think Dean Thomas and maybe Longo is looking for our job. He goes, look, there's Dean's got answers. And he talks bromances, art of coaching and cornering, and this and that. Now, look. This was on last week on the UFC Unfiltered. Okay. Good. And Dean, and I go, Hulk, what is this? You know Hulk, Paul Harrison, one of my black belts, cop. Anyway, nice guy.
Hulk?
He goes, Hulk. I call him Hulk. The guys get a nickname that sticks. His real name's Paul, I think. Not really kidding. I know him 30 years. But look, he goes, I go, what is this? He goes, Dean explaining the bromance. And then Longo calls in to discuss Aljo. Great listen. He goes, I go, oh, shit, I can't wait to hear it. He goes, he went way back to the beginning and how your friendship was forged. Choked me up a little. Ha ha. You believe that? No. So I gotta listen to this. It's called Dean's Got Answers. It's on our UFC Unfiltered podcast fucking thing. So I'm going to listen to this. It was last week. And then, you know, I'll hear from when he talks about me and then I'll probably shut it off. I'm only kidding. Jimmy.
Yes, sir.
Listen, let's talk about the fights this week.
Sure.
Really quick.
Yeah.
You know, Jimmy,
Couple of picks?
A couple of picks.
Go ahead, buddy.
Here's the deal. I'm going with Jairzinho Rozenstruik, and I'm going to go with second round fucking knockout. He's going to find his fucking chamber.
You know what?
I mean, I hear you. I get it.
Don't rush into it. I'm looking at Alexander a few fights before. They only send us 3 or 4 fights, but I want to see. He took Cyril for a decision. He got a decision out of Blades. He did beat Greg Hardy by decision. A knockdown. Last time he's been stopped was, it's been 4 years since he's been stopped by punches.
He lost to Cyril by decision, you think?
I'm going to take Jairzinho too. I'm just thinking, do I think that Jairzinho is going to stop him or if he's going to go the decision? And the last time he's been stopped was Derek Lewis in 2018. I'm going to take Jairzinho by decision. I think he wins by decision.
Okay. I like it. I said second round stoppage. Co-main.
Mavzar Ivloev against Danny Ye.
Listen, I like, don't look at these two losses in a row with Danny Ye and say, ooh, I don't like him. Don't say that. Jimmy, don't you say that. Okay. Jimmy, I'm saying the opposite of that. I like Danny Ye. I like him a lot. And he's fucking dangerous. And I know he's going versus an undefeated fighter right now in Mofsaw. And I don't care. Ige by decision. Experience. Go ahead. Go against me. You're gonna. I know you are.
I'm going to. Yeah. Hold on.
Jimmy, look which color I have.
You look good, Matt.
You look good too. You don't look pasty. You look good.
Oh, hold on. A little thinner?
You look thinner.
Are you lying?
Jimmy, you lost weight.
Oh,
I just started with that, Jimmy. Jimmy, what'd you do to lose weight?
I just kept looking at myself nude in the mirror and I would throw up.
Jimmy, I got abs. Listen to me. You look good. Jimmy, you look good. You should be proud. Because it was like a month ago, you were a chubby little bird.
I'm going to take Ivloev by decision. I think he eats out a decision. I love Danny Ye, but I think Mozart beats him.
All right. Now look, you know, we just had Michael Trezano on that one. And let's do
that pick against Lucas Almeida.
And I know Lucas Almeida, look, he got a nice sub in his last fight.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's probably, you know, feeling really good. But I like this Michael Trezano. And I think he's gonna bring the pain. And I'm gonna take him by decision, though.
I say he stops Almeida in the second round. I think Almeida's first UFC fight might be a bit of an adrenaline dump, like I said. And I think in the second round, Michael gets to him. That's my guess.
Jimmy, I can't say enough about today's show.
Yeah, it was fun. It's good seeing you, buddy.
And those fights start a little earlier, 12 p.m. on ESPN Plus. The prelims, 3 p.m. for the main card. What else? What are we going to plug?
Tonight, I am going to be at the Fat Black Pussycat, 7 p.m. for a one-hour set. This Friday, Jim Thorpe, PA. This Saturday, Delaware. And then I got New Jersey, Denver, and finally Acme Comedy Club in Minneapolis in September. I cannot wait.
You're so busy. Me, I'm over at sarahbjj.com. I'm always at my school. That's what I do. You can find me there. You know, I do cameos also, you know. And besides that, Jimmy, you know, just a husband and a father doing my thing. Jimmy, I will see. I'll talk to you by this weekend.
Okay, buddy.
All right. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.